This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, but the men that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make them need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
And welcome aboard.
I'm Rick DiPietro. You look delicious right now.
I would eat myself if I could.
Oh, I bet you would. My co-host, Dan Grasso. Will you relax? Our amazing producers. How about our fearless leader, RJ Santillo?
RJ, you have a thing?
I don't have a thing.
Oh, you got a thing. And how about the very, very handsome, hardworking, sometimes polarizing Raymond Santiago.
On this horse carriage, we fight for that inch.
You go protect those horses, Pacino. Big shout out to the companies. Thank you for getting up with us on this Thursday morning. We are DNR, the R&R boys.
Canton, Ohio. Is it Tom Benson Stadium or did they rename it? I think it's still Tom Benson Stadium. I know they added a lot of seats.
I love when you ask yourself questions. They did add a lot of seats. Call us what you want. Don't ever call us lazy. You can hear us every weekday morning, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. Number to call, you guys know it, 1-800-919-3776.
Red flag. Red flag. Oh, she wants to smash.
Oh, we're going to smash today. We have an unbelievable show planned for you today.
I got some titillating news for you, my friend.
Right. Yep, great show right in the, yeah, you know what? The Knicks took care of business up in Toronto. Ducey went wild in the first quarter. Mitchell Robinson is back, and the Knicks are a half game up on Cleveland for third in the East. Yankees will open up their season today in Houston. Nestor will get the ball. They also answered Dan's three catcher question with a move that they made to solidify the infield. Mets won't play because Dan doesn't believe in retractable roofs. We got the West Coast Open, hopefully at 9. We got stuff he missed at 9:15. Everyone's favorite station ID. Dan will slip it in at 8. And as always, on Thursday at 7:45, we have an observation and did it happen in Florida. But before we get to all of that, let me take a minute to recognize how lucky I am to have the great Dan Grasso hosting with me this week. Not only is he the voice of the New York Jets pre- and post-game, my Major League Baseball picks teammate, a man that dabbles in hoarding, or as he calls it, collecting, a once 10-year-old little leaguer that shook off a nasty stinger to brave the elements. Some would call the Ann Leibovitz of parking spot photography. Oh, no. Dan Grasso is not even just one man. He's Cookie Monster.
Me think they're too hot to be at Sesame Place all day.
He's Elmo.
Elmo don't want to pay $7 for water. That's too much money.
Sometimes he's French.
Sacre bleu.
Sometimes he's Russian.
You want to go to woods? Do you want to go for a drive? Bring overcoat, bit nipply outside.
Sometimes he's even Australian.
Bring me trumpet, play the song.
Occasionally he's inappropriate.
Oh me, somebody's in the loo. Better see who it is.
There's times he's not even a human.
Yeah, this message is for Rick. Hey, Rick, how you doing? This is a worm.
The versatility to go from a worm to even an NFL head coach?
Tour, listen, this how here y'all want to do it.
A former NFL football player.
I'm hearing a lot of stuff that the Falcons are going heavy after Belichick.
Thanks, Gronk. And my favorite, a country music star.
Colbert, Big Toe, yeehaw.
Here he is, I think, Dan Grasso.
I don't know what to say after that wonderful introduction, but I love the Thursday Open. It is the one thing I look forward to more than anything else on Thursday.
It was an ode to Dan Grasso.
It really was. What did I do teammate. To deserve that, by the way?
You're my teammate.
That's right. That is right, baby.
Yeah, teammate. Nice enough to fill in.
Brother in life. All those things.
All sorts of associates all over the country.
Associates. Absolutely. Gotta have them. Where would we be without them?
You got your beautiful Robert Saleh sideline edition hoodie.
You know what's funny? I walked in this morning and RJ said exactly the same exact thing. He's like, whoa, you're looking like Rob Saleh this morning. I said, I didn't intentionally put it together, but I guess so. The black on black, yeah, a little bit.
Dye the beard a little bit. You'll dead ring your...
just a little bit there, Bob? What do you think? Just a
little bit? I don't like him with the beard. I like him clean shaven.
Who, Rob Saleh?
Saleh.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I like him clean shaven.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's what are we, in March? It's March. You know, it's not season yet.
No, he's a handsome guy, though.
Maybe he's trying to go in disguise, a little incognito, given the wins and losses record. I don't know.
He did say, yeah, less noise, right?
Less noise,
which is not a bad thing. I love how I sent something to the group chat last night.
Yeah.
And instantly, not what I heard from my associates.
Well, it's proven to be corroborated on several fronts, right? So I was correct.
Yeah,
I wouldn't lead you astray.
I think I now know who your associate is.
Who do you think the associate is?
I'm not going to out your associate.
That's true. You can't.
I don't want to do that.
But I would, like I said, I wouldn't confirm it or deny it either. But it's just noise. It's noise. It's all it is.
Well, I understand it's noise.
How are you, by the way? I mean, I know the Thursday Open was great. You knocked it out of the park as usual. But other than the Thursday Open, how are you feeling this morning? You feeling good? Because this is our last day together for the week.
I got to tell you this.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm a little sad.
Why?
And I'm also, because it's our last day together.
Okay.
I'm also a little frustrated with you.
Why?
Because you put me in a spot yesterday when you asked me the show that I was watching with the kids.
Oh.
But you said show, and it drove me crazy. So I asked my wife, I asked my kids, I said, what show? And they gave me the list of shows that we watch. None of the shows made any sense. And then out of nowhere, you're like, Eureka, I got it. Teenage Crackheads.
That was
just not teen. We weren't. I said to my wife, because like an idiot, I'm like, did I watch a show called Teenage Crackheads with the kids? Because that doesn't sound like a show that we would watch. She's like, no, you idiot. And my daughter's like, no, Dad, it was the Teenage Kraken.
The Kraken is a mythological sea monster.
And it was a movie, so you had me in the whole wrong headspace.
What's the difference? Whether it's a show, whether it's a movie, it's a moving picture with voices, they talk. Does that matter? Do I need to specify?
Yes. Yes. We talked about this yesterday.
Is that because the 18 concussions?
Yes. And in my mind, I'm having some real brain issues, and I was like, oh my God, how do I not remember this?
Do you know how I came upon it, by the way? And it really could have been solved a lot earlier than it did, because yesterday after the show, now we did the communal kind of breakfast yesterday. Post show with Ray and RJ. You didn't want any part of it because you're too good.
No, I have practices. Yes, I'm sorry.
You're too good for the meal. And so, but they have this fakakta like producer meeting on, what was it, on Wednesdays?
Yeah.
Right, RJ? Is it Wednesdays?
Well, it's usually our show meeting because
Tuesdays is the producers usually.
No, it's the producers for the entire channel, like not just the show. But so John was spearheading that, and that happens right at 10 o'clock, right when the show is over. So I had to sit around and wait for them to be done with the meeting so then we could all go out and break bread and do the whole thing. So I'm sitting there racking my brain. I'm trying to remember what the hell's the name of the damn show, whatever. 20 minutes into this, and I'm just hanging around, and I thought to myself, I said, you know what? Let me go back and check my phone and check our text chain, you and I, and maybe, just maybe, somewhere in the past that this show might have been typed out in a text. And lo and behold, what did I see? You, my friend, actually put it out there in one of our texts from like last summer, the name of the show, and that's how I stumbled upon it.
So you cheated.
No, I didn't cheat. I mean, you
that's
provided
cheating.
The answer. We got
that's
it.
Cheating. That's cheating. I'm racking my brain. I'm searching. I'm asking the kids, peppering the question. Maybe you're just smarter than me. It was probably the right way to go. It was just check. Can I speak for a second? Check our text message chain. Smart guy you are.
So you didn't have to ask your wife. I was asking my wife. I was like, do you remember a show that we were talking about, something with kids, and it sounded like it was drug-related, like last summer, and she couldn't remember it. She knew of the fact that we were having some fun with it, but she couldn't remember the exact name.
Yeah, it didn't sound like when you texted me that, I was like, am I a bad parent? Would I ever have my kids sit down with dad and watch Teenage Crackheads? Probably not.
I'm sitting there Googling yesterday, like trying to pass the time during the producer's meeting, like children's television shows, and just to see if something like rang a bell. Nothing. And that's why, because it wasn't a television show. It was a movie.
All right. So this is your fault, and we move on. Now we know it was the Teenage Kraken.
But we at least got the answer, and now we can go on with the rest of our lives, which is great. I agree. But, it's a big weight off my shoulders. It was going to bother me probably till the end of time if I didn't figure out that name. So I'm glad that it did. Mystery solved. Now, I said this to RJ and Ray before the show. I want to get your take on this. Today's opening day, right? Technically, it's opening day. In the continental United States, it is opening day. Mets get rained out. Smart they do it early. Yankees are down in Houston. I don't know what it is. Maybe you can put your finger on it. It feels like the most unopening day opening day that I can remember in quite some time.
Wow. I would probably agree with you.
But why do you think that is?
Well, I think part of it is we have a couple teams right now that have most of our attention. right? Knicks are, I mean, I mentioned in the Thursday open, Knicks are half game up on Cleveland for third, starting to get healthy. Mitchell Robinson being back is a huge deal for us. Ducey went wild. And then there's the Rangers. I mean, the Rangers are fighting for the President's Trophy right now. That's how good they're playing. So, I mean, you have those two teams right now to kind of keep you busy. And on top of that, not nearly as much excitement for this Mets season because they've kind of done their best to not set expectations too high, right? I think the signing of J.D. Martinez got us a little excited. And now we have, because, you know, God forbid, you know, we do the retractable roof because you hate it. We have no game today. And then I think some of the Yankee stuff with Gerrit Cole going down was a big deal for a lot of Yankees fans. I think there's probably some nervous energy from the Yankees fans. Judge already being banged up in spring training. DJ LeMahieu starting the season on the IL. So there's, I mean, I don't know. I can't tell you exactly why it doesn't feel like there's that much excitement, but I think that's probably a couple of the reasons.
Now, does the rain out today postponing the Mets opening day, does that give J.D. Martinez enough time to get there for opening day?
I would love that.
You know, get a few extra cuts there in the batting cage, and he's going to be fit and ready to go to be out there with the rest of the team at Citi Field and be introduced and run out on the first baseline. I guess not. But not, I don't know what it is, man. Like, opening day was always just, you know, the slate is clean. Spring is here. Hopefully the weather's getting a little bit better. You know, you have all this optimism. But, yeah, the weather stinks today. It's dreary. It's rainy. It's crappy. You know, the Yankees are on the road. You're not going to have a baseball game in New York. I don't know what it is. It's just, look, I'll be all over it starting, you know, tomorrow when we see the Mets play and even later today when the Yankees are on. But I don't know. I got to get worked up for a little bit here. There's other things that are on my plate right now that I'm more into than the start of opening day.
Right, and I think that's a bigger problem with baseball that we can talk about at some point.
I'm more geeked up about the Sweet 16 tonight and the return of the NCAA tournament than I am opening day.
Well, how much do you think that is just your expectations as a fan right now? Like, you have other teams that you root for that you have real high expectations for right now.
How about this? I'm probably more excited that baseball as a whole is back, that I know I have a game every day, whether it's some team playing in the league, right? Because I love baseball and I cover the sport. I'm more probably geeked up over that than I am that, in particular, let's say Mets or Yankees are back, necessarily. Just the fact that it's baseball season.
Right, but I think there would be more, I mean, for me, I'm a Mets fan. So, I mean, I don't know if there's a lack of excitement. I love baseball. I'm getting ramped up for the kids' baseball. We start a week away from our opening day. But I don't know. I think it's partly just the expectations for our season, coming off a really bad season where we had high hopes. Right? Like, I mean, this is kind of what they did to us. Like, would we like to be a wild card team? Yeah, we'd like to be a wild card team. But if we're not, you know, it's a chance for David Stearns to kind of assess what we have. We have a plan that it seems like a lot of the Mets fans have bought into. And then we'll go back to spending money once all this, you know, dead money comes off of our payroll. We'll go out next year in free agency or this upcoming free agency and spend. And then we'll be back trying to compete, you know, to win a division and hopefully win a championship. But I think, I mean, for me, I think that's why some of my excitement for opening day isn't there. And I think the Yankees, kind of the same thing. I think the Yankees, this is an all-in season. That's what Hal told us, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a percentage of Yankees fans that don't feel like they actually went all-in, right? They made a big move to get Juan Soto. They bring in Marcus Stroman. They you know, were feeling around with Blake Snell, but I think they feel like there could have been more done, especially when Gerrit Cole goes down. I think there's a lot of Yankees fans that feel like with the uncertainty surrounding Gerrit Cole that they're probably a starting pitcher light, and they didn't address that. And I think it's probably that anxiety as to what the season is going to actually be, because you have some people that are, you know, paid to predict the outcome of the Major League Baseball season that think the Yankees have a really good chance to win the AL East. And then you got Baseball Reference that says they're going to stink. So, I mean, you don't really know. I'm probably more on the side that they're going to be offensively, they'll be good enough to deal with missing Gerrit Cole for a couple months. But that would scare the hell out of me, that I don't know what Gerrit Cole is going to be if and when he comes back.
100%. From superchargers, exhaust kits, and more, eBay Motors has over 122 million parts to keep your ride or die alive. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home that win. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. The Mets and the Yankees, you know the two things that they have going for them, potentially, in the early portion of this baseball season? You know what those two things are?
What are those two things? They have, I don't know, answer the question for me.
the Knicks and the Rangers.
Yeah, I was going
to
say that.
Right? Because if they get off to a bad start, either one of these teams or maybe even both, and we're sitting there, you know, mid-May, we may not even be giving them the full slate of attention or all the complaining and all the criticism and whatever venom that the fans are going to direct in their direction. They may not even feel the full brunt because we're just consumed with a deep Knicks-Rangers playoff run, which legitimately could happen. Let's face it.
Yeah, but let's be honest, though. I mean, what are the chances that there's any vitriol towards the Mets early in the season with where the expectations have been set?
Everything that we heard in the offseason from the fans, that why aren't they spending more money, why, you know, that camp. Why isn't Steve Cohen's the richest owner in baseball? Why doesn't he spend more money? Why don't you be more active? Why weren't you in on Snell? Why weren't you in on Montgomery? If the Met rotation that they pieced together largely on one-year deals, if they spit the bit and they got like a staff ERA of 8 over the first 6 weeks of the season, that's what you're going to hear.
I understand that. But, I mean, I think when you have two opposite ends of the spectrum, though. You have the Mets that pretty much said, yeah, we'll try to compete for a wild card, but you know who knows how this thing is going to turn out after a 75-win season. And then you have the Yankees. This is unacceptable. 82-80. That's not who we are. We're all in. And we only have Juan Soto for guaranteed this year.
Right.
So they're going to have people more. They'll be more frustrated Yankees fans than there will be Mets fans if these teams get off to slow starts. One team has really no expectations, and the other team has World Series expectations.
But I think for a fan, there's always going to be some sort of expectation. You know, like I think that there's going to be a good enough amount of Met fans who feel that this team, if everything breaks right, they could be a wild card contender.
Yeah, but listen to what you just said, though. If everything breaks right, if you're smart, if you take a step back and take off your, you know, take your Mets fandom out of it for a second. Mm-hmm. Those, and I'm talking about the optimistic fans that will call and yell at us because we're pointing out things that could go wrong. Why do you got to be so negative? Those fans, if they took a step back and looked at, we'll say the rotation because that's the biggest concern with this team is the rotation. Mm-hmm. What are your real expectations for this rotation, especially without Kodai Senga in it?
Well, I don't think it's unrealistic for the Mets. And here's, see, I break down in small goals with the Mets. And I know we got to get a break and we'll get some calls up at 800-919-3776. The expectation for the Mets to me, be relevant at the trade deadline. That's the small goal. Don't tell me about October yet. Get me to the end of July, 500 in the mix because I'm going to keep saying this, and I'm going to keep pounding this drum all year. If this team is mathematically, no, I don't want to say mathematically, but if they're like a 500 team and in the mix for a wild card at the deadline, I believe Steve Cohen, David Stearns will green light being active buyers at the trade deadline to try to go make a move and to try to get a playoff spot.
All right. So as we go to break, because you just love destroying the clock,
right?
Is that actually in the Mets' best interest to be relevant?
Why not?
Well, I don't know. Are you going to sign? Tell me.
It doesn't matter. They're still going to go out there and spend wildly, I think, in the offseason anyway.
Well, are you going to sign Pete Alonso or not?
Pete Alonso or Juan Soto. You're not getting them both.
Okay. But so that's the question. So if they're relevant and they decide to go all in, and let's just say they don't finish in a wild card spot and you haven't traded Pete Alonso and you're losing for nothing, mm-hmm. I mean, is that good?
That's not that it's good, but if you have Juan Soto in right field next year, I don't think Met fans are going to care. No, I don't think they're going to care.
Okay.
And you know what? You're going to go out there and I think sign at least one of these big free agent starting pitchers as well next offseason.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere.
Dave. I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
If you put on your TV and watch the Yankees in Houston, at least, Mets tomorrow. You know, I give the Mets credit, though, Rick, doing the right thing, calling the game early enough. to where you're not going to have people that would have to wake up this morning and have the opening day game in doubt, or should we go, should we not go, are they going to play the game, are we going to be sitting out in the rain all day? Good for them giving about 24 hours heads up.
Well, it's the right thing to do.
Well, they don't always do the right thing.
I understand that, but I mean, they had the opportunity to do the right thing. It sucks for the people that took off, you know, work today to go experience opening day, but you don't care because you think they're soft and they should just battle through the elements.
I sat through a lot. Can I tell you something? I remember one in particular. I think it was 2002, maybe 2002 or 2000, whatever Tom Glavine's first year as a Met was. 02, 03. I don't remember. He had the opening day start, Shea Stadium. They played the Cubs. It might as well have been a winter's day. It was sunny as hell. There was not a cloud in the sky, but the temperature was like 30 degrees. I remember we sat in the upper deck at Shea Stadium, froze my you-know-what off. I was dressed for that game like I would go to a Jet game in December. And Glavine got lit up. The Cubs beat the Mets that day. I think it was like 12-2 or something like that. Miserable, miserable game. Miserable.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is 10-year-old Danny taking a little stinger, crying to mummy, and he's, you know, sucking up.
No, there was no crying. There's no crying in baseball.
Stop it. You teared up. Guaranteed
no.
You teared up.
I said I wanted some clarity. I was like, what the hell's going on? And you know what? I fought through it, and I continued my career. There was no stepping away.
Great defensive center fielder, I heard.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, right.
The vacuum Dyson. Cleaner.
Nickname was the Dyson, huh?
Catch anything.
Sucking things up in center.
Catch anything. Speed on the base paths.
I'd like to see some of that in the Sasso softball event.
I'll tell you, I've had the Sasso softball event, here's the problem with that. I still go out there in the outfield, but my prowess out there is not what it used to be. Like, I've let a couple hit the turf, and I let that stay with me for like a week afterwards. Because I know that, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, whatever, Grasso would nowhere near have let that happen.
Yeah, but you're an old man now almost.
But I'm in good shape. I just don't play baseball anymore. Softball, baseball, whatever.
How about we get some practice in?
Do you want to?
Santiago. I got a running bet with Dave that Santiago's going to hit a home run.
Wait a sec. You weren't even there last year. Are you going to actually show up this year?
Yeah, I would like to. I enjoy playing in it.
But you didn't go last year.
I did not go, but wasn't there weather issues last year too anyway?
No, I don't think there was. I think it was fine last year. I think the weather was maybe 2 years ago.
See, here's the problem for me. I was going consistently every year, and then all of a sudden as the kids get older and they start having, you know, sports, feels like almost every day. It's tough to kind of clear the schedule out, you know?
Well, plus because I think that, and look, I give you credit. You live a very, very long ways away. Like the fact that you would even make that drive on a Saturday, you know, give up your day. I mean, a summer Saturday, that's big. To be part of the game when you don't have to, I give you credit. But then, you know, doing it, like you said, consistently, maybe you just wake up one day and you go, you know, I don't want to go.
No, I like doing it. And the best part about it for me is...
And you bring your whole family, you bring the wife, you bring the kids, and they all have to tag along.
Well, they love it. I'll tell you why, though, because Cass...
Your wife doesn't love it.
She does love it. You know why she loves it?
Tell me.
Selfishly, she loves it because she likes going to Houston's. So she loves Houston's. They close the Houston's by us, and there's one right as we get out towards Don, and then she wants to stop there after every game that we play out there.
Really?
That's why she likes to go. Yep. From Sasso right to Houston's.
And how long did she spend at Houston's?
I don't know, a meal? It's not like she hangs out at Houston's.
I don't think I've ever been to Houston's.
Delicious.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's good food. Yeah.
I can't imagine crossing two rivers just for Houston's.
Well, we're really crossing. I'm crossing for Don and for the charity event, and then we get the benefit of the Houston's on the way home.
So Houston's is like somewhere no higher than third on the list as to why you're paying two tolls.
Right.
Okay. I gotcha.
I would say it's probably second on the list, actually. Sasso
so
one,
wait a second. Wait,
Houston's
wait, 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 two. Wait, Ray. So think about this for a second. Apart from the game itself, to me, what I look forward to is the camaraderie more than anything else. Like, we do the post-show gathering. We break bread. It's a grand old time. So you mean to tell me that you bypass the post-show gathering to have your own exclusive DiPietro highbrow get-together at Houston's? Now we know the truth. Now the cat's out of the bag.
Yeah, I don't care if the cat's out of the bag. It's not a highbrow event.
But it is. But
no.
What you're saying is basically all you people and your extended families are nothing to me because I am going to go to Houston's and bask in the aftermath of whatever happened during the game by ourselves apart from you people. That's what's happening.
No, it's not what's happening. It's, hey, honey, thank you so much for watching a bunch of old men and women play a softball game where you get smashed by the best team in the tournament. Let's go to Houston's afterwards. And that's what I do.
Ray, do you get any sort of elitist vibe from this?
I mean, a little bit, but
Houston's is not an elite.
It doesn't have to be a Michelin restaurant. The point is that you're deciding to hang out with your own small exclusive group apart from everybody else as soon as the game is over.
Oh, you mean your family?
Exactly.
Like, yeah, right.
Well, but everybody else has their families. It's not like we're just abandoning them. But now I know. So, like, afterwards, like, why doesn't Rick come out afterwards? Well, because Rick has to drive all the way back to Long Island. And I bought that. I was like, oh, I understand. I would probably do the same thing. But it's not like he's going back to Long Island. He's going to Houston's.
I give you everything I got camaraderie-wise on the field and in the dugout.
But we're not sitting there commiserating on the field when he got softballs coming at you off the guy's aluminum bats.
Well, listen, maybe you should start, okay? Maybe you should leave it all on the field like I do. And I just have no energy left. I got to go to Houston's to get myself right. Letting balls fall in front of you in the outfield.
This is unbelievable now.
I'm out there diving around.
I'm looking at the whole softball experience completely different now. Completely different.
Now, listen, you go break bread with who you want to break bread with. I'm taking the wife and kids to Houston's, okay?
Ray, how good is the post-game bread breaking? It's great, right?
We have a good time. We have a good time.
We eat, we drink, we be merry, we laugh.
Raymond was going to say we drink, but he doesn't want that out there for Dave to go after him. Right, Raymond?
Yeah, he's not listening anyway.
Yeah, I picked up on that.
Greg Buttle and Marty Lyons come out to the postgame.
Marty Lyons, listen, I'm just happy that Marty Lyons got up after, he fell head first with no hands at home.
That was scary.
Yeah, real scary.
I had the bird's eye view of that one, and as it was happening, it was like slow motion. It was like a tree coming down in the forest, and I was like, no! Like as I'm watching him face plant.
I can't believe he got up.
I was legit scared for my friend.
I'll tell you what else I also do when I go out there. Swing by Bogey's Hoagies.
This is before the game?
This is before the game for a little snack.
So Bogey's before, Houston's afterwards.
Yep.
Interesting.
I get the whole full experience.
Apparently. You just moved to Jersey. I don't know why you don't.
I'm all set.
Yeah, you're good.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
All right, let's get some phone calls up here. But before I do that, though, let me just remind everybody that the DNR pregame party is back. Thankfully, it's not today. The show is heading out to Publicans again in Manhasset on Long Island Thursday, May the 2nd, then riding the LIRR to Citi Field for the second annual pregame party ahead of Mets-Cubs before going into the game at 1:10 p.m. and sitting in Section 129. Rick's going to swing by Houston's before the game, actually. That's Thursday, May the 2nd at Publicans in Manhasset and then right to Citi Field. So we will see you there. Let's go to the phones. Wes, East Hanover, going to be our leadoff hitter today on 98.7. Wesley, good morning, my friend. How are you?
Oh, great, fellas, and good morning, loyal listeners. You know, I'm not as excited, and I think the reason why we're not as excited is because our team isn't playing today. Your Mets aren't playing. My Braves aren't playing. But I was thinking last night, I'm still excited because baseball starts. And so we argue about who's the best player. So I'm curious who you guys think are the three top positional players. Otani is out of the question because he's a pitcher DH, but top three positional players.
I think Mookie Betts. I think Acuna.
And Aaron Judge is in that conversation when healthy. And
probably Aaron Judge.
Yep.
Okay, so I've asked that to people outside of this market, and they don't mention Judge. Everyone mentions Acuna and Betts. So here are some of the other names that I've heard thrown. Julio Rodriguez.
Yes, that's a good one.
You have Julio Rodriguez. Not yet. You have Bobby Witt Jr. thrown in there. And then there was one more. I forgot who the other one was. But I found it interesting because we always talk about Judge being one of the best players, and I think he is. But I think we're a little bit on the New York bias because when he is healthy, he is unbelievable, but he's not consistently healthy, so we don't get him for the full 160, 162. So I'm interested to see what he does this year because I think he can be one of those top three. But those young guys coming up.
Wes, this is why as a Braves fan you're a spoiled brat, is because all your best players play every single night, your best players play with Atlanta.
I'm, Yeah, and that's so unusual. And there was an article that came out in the Players Tribune yesterday that Acuna wrote just about how much they love playing and how the veterans treat them as equals and so on and so forth, is that they just have that camaraderie that we talk about of when we played sports, having our best teams and having the most fun as you enjoy the people that you played with. They have that. They just have to win this year, make a run the postseason. But I'm excited to just see what happens as the year goes. And I'm excited to see if Soto can jump into that top three, because I think if he adds the power numbers this year, the short boards in Yankee Stadium, he could be one of those top three players.
Yeah, but
so
defensively,
there's a lot
he's not
of young guy.
Defensively, he's not there, though, Wes.
You're right, but does he have to cover as much ground in Yankee Stadium in right field as he did in Washington or in San Diego in that big ballpark?
Well,
does that help his defensive numbers a little bit?
But you know what his presence is going to show us here, Wes, for at least for the season? And Rick, and I thank you for the phone call, Wes, as always. Now you're shifting Aaron Judge over to center field. You're talking about a guy who you're worrying about his durability and staying on the field. But him playing center, more ground to cover. He's probably going to see a lot more action, and you just hope amongst hope. But, I mean, don't you just have, you know, you're sitting there crossing your fingers if you're a Yankee fan. When Judge, you know, dives head first for a ball, you just hope that he doesn't, like, crack a rib or something. Because it just seems like one of these things is always going to happen. We saw it in the past. Remember where he had that mysterious injury where it turned out to be a rib fracture? For how many months did that thing linger on, and the Yankees had no idea what it was a few years ago?
Yeah, of course. I mean, as a Yankees fan, of course you're going to be nervous about that, because you recognize what it looks like when Aaron Judge isn't in the lineup. Right, the hope this year is that if he does get hurt for whatever reason, you do have Juan Soto. And you're not going to rely on Giancarlo Stanton, right? Like, you have an actual, like, one of the best hitters in baseball is a Yankee right now. Dude, I'm looking at it. You look at some of these numbers for the Braves, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, Acuna played 159 games.
You know Matt why he's Olson, able to stay in there? Because he doesn't run hard to first base. He paces himself.
Matt Olson didn't miss a game. He played 162. Austin Riley played 159.
Mm-hmm.
Like, their best players play pretty much every single game.
Yeah, for them it was their pitchers, their starting pitchers that got nicked up a little bit that they couldn't keep out there consistently. But yeah, the position players, and that's why we always say building a team with the core of your guys being bats instead of arms. You know, those are the things you lock up, because it seems like the pitchers are the ones who are more susceptible to injury. You know, it's funny too, remember, it wasn't all that long ago, there was a guy who was undisputed the number one player on that list, like that Wes just threw out there. And now I can't even put him in the top three, and that's Mike Trout, just because of the injuries and stuff over the last couple of years.
Right. In fact, this team doesn't win, too. It doesn't help.
We have to do a list for the baseball channel. That's why when Wes called, I was going through my emails to call up the list, like ranking the top 10s at like all the positions.
Yep.
And then top 10 overall as well. My top 10 overall, Shohei, Judge, Acuna, Freeman,
yep.
Trout, 6, Julio, 7, Yordan, 8, Juan Soto, 9, Gerrit Cole, 10, Corey Seager.
Where's Mookie Betts?
Not on the list.
How's that possible?
Because you know what? He's probably 11. And maybe if I had to do it all over again, maybe he sneaks in there. But at the time, I just wasn't putting him in the top 10.
All right. So you don't value the fact that he can play right field, second base. He'll play shortstop this season. No. Power, ability to run the bases. None of that.
He probably should have been on the list. But you know what? It's my list. I'm okay with the list. I had to throw a pitcher in there. And at the time, of course, I'm going to put Cole on there because he's the best pitcher.
He's the best pitcher in baseball. That's not even a question.
Right. And Seager's clutch money. How many championships?
But I mean,
World Series MVPs.
It drives me crazy. It drives me crazy, and I get into this with the whole Hall of Fame conversation in baseball, like how Andrew Jones is not a Hall of Famer.
That's a joke.
Yeah, like, but what happened? Like, so defense is, unless you stink at it, that's when it matters. But if you're good at defense, we don't give you any credit for being great at defense.
It's conditional.
It's unbelievable.
Some players. All right, so we talked a little bit about it yesterday with expectations. Right, for both of these teams. I think that if you're a Met fan, you're maybe some more than others cautiously optimistic. Right? You hope things are going to break a certain way for you, and you might have a season which keeps you entertained long into the summer. And that's all I ask for. Right? Because last year was such a debacle. And essentially, the Mets played themselves out of contention by the time June 1st rolled around. That I don't think is going to happen this year. If they tread water, that's all you're asking for as a fan, to get you late into the summer at the deadline and see how the front office reacts. You know, Miami, Arizona last year made the playoffs with 83 wins. It is possible to stay relevant that late in the season. Yankees, on the other hand, I think they have larger goals. This is a team that is going all in this year, and you expect to compete for a championship. Now, How likely is that? Got no idea. But for one, I'm a little bit cool on the Yankees. Maybe not as high as some people think that they're going to be this year. Here's Jeff Passan on the ESPN Daily. And you know what? He kind of echoes sort of the same thing that I'm feeling.
I don't have the Yankees making the playoffs this year. Gerrit Cole's elbow. If Gerrit Cole's healthy, they're in. Gerrit Cole's not healthy right now. We have no idea when he's going to come back. His elbow is a mess. There's nerve issues. The UCL is not torn to the point where he can't throw, but it ain't pretty. I hope Gerrit Cole comes back healthy and better than ever. But I know pitchers and I know arms. And generally speaking, when you're missing a few months to begin the season, you may not necessarily come back quite the same. And really any expectation of you coming back is dependent on a really good rehab.
I, for one, cannot sit here with any certainty and think that Gerrit Cole is going to be back on that mound on any given date and not have to miss any more time. And that is going to be thrown into the argument as to why you think the Yankees might come up a little bit short this year.
Right. Well, here's my thought process is even putting Gerrit Cole to the side, right? Not knowing. Because again, from the people in baseball that you talk to, you hear from, we've heard from Buster Olney, now you're hearing from Passan, like that have dealt with issues in the elbow and how it starts and what ends up, where it ends up finishing. It's not great, right? Like, who knows? I'll give Gerrit Cole the benefit of the doubt just because I've talked to a couple different people and they would tell me, like, if you want to show your kid video of how to pitch, show him Gerrit Cole video because of how good his mechanics are, he's everything about how he throws a baseball, his body, all of it is perfect. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that once he gets through this rehab, he'll come back and he'll be pretty damn good. So when baking that into the equation of how I feel about this Yankees team, I still thought at the very least that they would be a wild card team. Having Gerrit Cole out for 2 months, I think probably, even if Baltimore takes a step back, puts them out of winning the AL East, most likely in my opinion.
And it happens every year. There's going to be a team that comes out of nowhere that nobody's talking about right now, and they're going to steal a playoff spot away from a team that right now maybe everybody is forecasting that they're going to be playing October baseball. It's inevitable, right?
Yeah, well, it's inevitable. And then when you look at the division that you're in, and the fact that, you won 82 games. Baltimore won 101 last season. So even if they take a step back, like, do you have enough to make up the ground that it's going to take? Tampa, their pitching staff, decimated with injuries. They still find a way to win 99 games last season. And then you got a really talented Toronto team. And then what's going on in the AL West. So, yeah, you're going to have your hands full. But I got to imagine if with so many ifs, if they stay healthy, if Aaron Judge can stay healthy, that their offense is going to be so much better than it was last season.
It's going to have to be, right?
But it's going to be, isn't it?
If they stay healthy.
Like Aaron Judge, you know what he is when he's healthy. Juan Soto, right? You add Verdugo to left field. You didn't have a left fielder last year. Figure Volpe in year two will be better. First base. Anthony Rizzo was off to a great start until he got the freak concussion, right? Austin Wells should be hopefully better offensively behind the plate. You got Trevino back. I don't know, man. And then you get Gleyber Torres at second base that you know what he is, what he's capable of doing offensively. Whatever you get from Giancarlo Stanton is going to be just extra. Bullpen will be good. I have a hard time believing. It goes back to, you're sitting here talking about being optimistic as a Mets fan. Well, yeah, because you choose to be optimistic, because God forbid we have to sit through 162 games where there's no optimism that this team has any chance to be a playoff team. But what, that Luis Severino was just tipping pitches? So him throwing BP last year, with how bad he was, that he all of a sudden now is going to be fixed and figure it out?
Isn't it funny that both teams in this city, their offenses may have to carry them for the majority of this season?
Yeah.
But it's possible, I'm saying. I think with both of these teams, if they stay healthy and they perform anywhere near to the back of their baseball cards, I think this team's going to put up numbers, and I think that they're going to be okay. Because remember, back in the day, the Yankees, when I say back in the day, I'm talking, 5-6 years ago, right? They had a lethal offense. There were still some question marks in the rotation, right? Bullpen, though, was rock solid. the back end of that bullpen. That was when Dellin Betances was still like one of the top relievers in baseball. You had Aroldis Chapman here, and it was always about shorten the game, shorten the game. And that was good enough. They were able to club teams all throughout the regular season, get to the playoffs, and that's where they necessarily got into some problems, right? Because maybe the bats would dry up a little bit when you're going up against good pitching in October, and then you didn't have that workhorse that you would be able to rely on to be able to try to win you some low-scoring games. That might have to be the case this year, especially the longer they go without Gerrit Cole. But it's possible, right? I mean, it's possible. And the key to me is Aaron Judge. Can he stay healthy and have an MVP-type season?
Right. Well, he's one of the best players in baseball. And you see the effect he has on this lineup. But I would also say to you, though, I mean, when you – and I know there's questions surrounding the staff, but, I mean, you do have guys that have done it before, that have been, you know, pitched at a high level. Like the reason why you signed Carlos Rodon to the deal that you signed him to, because for the 2 years before you signed him, he was great. Right? He was great. Like he's shown, like he has the ability to be a really good two.
That's what got him paid
for this team. That's what got him paid. Marcus Stroman had an unbelievable start to the first half of last season. And he fell off in the second half. I get it. Nestor's shown you he has the ability to be a good pitcher in this league. Clark Schmidt was good last season. Like they do, I mean, in their bullpen has been good. So, I mean, when you add this kind of offense, what this offense should be capable of doing, you're talking about having two of the best hitters in the league on your team, batting two and three in your lineup. I mean, you got Juan Soto and you got Aaron Judge in your lineup.
Pick your poison. And imagine what you could potentially get from Stanton this year. I mean, does anybody know what you're going to get from Stanton this year?
No, but you're not relying on Stanton.
How about anything you get as a bonus? Is that fair?
I just said that, yeah. I mean, yeah, and hopefully now with his, you know, he drops some of the muscle and he feels like a baseball player again.
Mobility, flexibility. It's a beautiful thing.
I just don't know why there's such this. I mean, there's a lot of people I hear, too, that are just, I mean, once Gerrit Cole went down, it's like, oh, Yankees are done. No playoffs.
Not the case. I brought up, you know, when that happened, there was a Cardinal team, 2011, I want to say. Adam Wainwright was lost for the season. He was their ace. Adam Wainwright was one of the top pitchers, starting pitchers in baseball back then. It was a long time ago, but he was, you know, top 2-3 in the Cy Young the previous few years. I mean, he was a legit ace pitcher. Lost him for the season. They still won a World Series that year. Still won a World Series.
Well, but look where baseball's at. I mean, we go back to what the Yankees' biggest problem has been in the postseason too. Has been the hitting, not the pitching. Pitching's been good. I get it. You know, when Gerrit Cole pitched last season, the Yankees were 23-10. That's tough to replace. But I got to imagine this between this offense, the addition of Soto. I mean, outfield will be better with an actual left fielder playing. I mean, Verdugo was a nice move. I know the DJ LeMahieu stuff kind of stinks, but DJ LeMahieu hasn't been great either.
But I'm worried about that because, you know, he was trending in the wrong direction the last couple of years. And now you're telling me he's starting the season already on the shelf because of another ailment, which who knows if he's going to ever be able to get back on track again this year. I would be concerned. Like, that's a guy right now that I can't have high hopes for just because the back of the baseball card has not been trending in the way you want it to, especially for a guy who's getting up there in years as well.
Like, right,
he was great when they got him.
He was awesome. And Yankees fans would have been...
And we're sitting there saying, how the hell does Colorado let this guy walk out the door? Because it's Colorado.
All right, but he was, I mean, for the first couple of years here, I mean, he was
the
best player in the team. He was a
batting champion.
MVP. And now, I mean, as you get older, too, I mean, obviously, you're not going to stay healthier, and I'm with you, but like, if you power ranked, you know, guys on the Yankees that you were most reliant on, where would DJ LeMahieu fall on that list?
That I was most reliant on? But think about how it changes the outlook, though, if God forbid, or if you possibly ever had this guy back even getting close to what he was when he was at his best.
Yeah, but did you really expect that anyway?
For this season?
Yeah.
Before this latest episode about the foot, I had to at least go into the year with somewhat of a clean slate and be optimistic.
Because, yeah, but you didn't
because
feel
how
like
many, you know, here's the scary thing about DJ LeMahieu. Okay, like talking about a guy who, look at the contract and how many more years that he has still on that contract.
Well, that's
contract.
Their own fault. That's their own fault because rather than go a little bit more average annual, they decided to spread it out. It's their own fault. That's what they wanted to do, and now it's gonna bite them in the you-know-what when they have to eat this. Forget that. I mean, you got Stanton through 2027.
But DJ LeMahieu once upon a time was producing. Three more years, including this season, $15 million a pop. For DJ. That's scary. Let's say hi to Calvin in Washington Heights, who's up next here on 98.7. Calvin, good morning. How are you?
Hey, how you doing? Do you hear me well?
Gotcha, Calvin. What's up?
Good morning. I just wanted to make two quick points. I call the show often, and using your top 10 list, I completely disagree that you left like Mookie Betts out. You left Jose Ramirez, and you put Corey Seager over Jose Ramirez.
Like, Corey Seager has how many World Series rings and how many World Series MVP trophies?
That's a team effort, and I'm going to say the reason is a team effort. Corey Seager's always hurt. He's actually, Aaron Judge, injury-wise, is more consistent as far as injury-wise.
Corey Seager's
Jose
a very
Ramirez
good player.
Leads in war. Let me say this. Jose Ramirez leads in war.
Mm-hmm.
Jose Ramirez is more, just because he hits less home runs, is more complete in general. You can't put Corey Seager over Jose Ramirez, and even Manny Machado over Corey Seager.
Calvin, you know why I could do that, Calvin? Because it's my list, and I wouldn't lose any sleep over the list. But it's my list, and I could put whoever I want on the list.
But even Mookie Betts, you left out the top 10 list. And the second point I would like to say, a great caller called is, he called early and said about Juan Soto, about his power hitting. I want people to understand that. Juan Soto is like a hitter, like Miguel Cabrera and Albert Pujols in their prime. He's not going to strike out more than 100 times. He only struck out more than 100 twice in his whole entire six seasons or seven seasons he has in the major leagues. And he hits for power, and he's walking about 140 times, something like Barry Bonds style. That's doing. So he's like a mixture of Albert Pujols, Miguel Cabrera, which is the best hitter in our generation that we're able to see of Juan Soto. So the Yankees is going to get probably amazing numbers. Not probably. I will soon project amazing numbers for Juan Soto. I predict him either MVP or Julio Rodriguez that I believe is going to get 40-40 this year. But I just wanted to, was talking to the guy that screened the call. He was agreeing with me with Jose Ramirez because you left him out and Mookie Betts. And I just had to call in because I'm like, I couldn't believe that you
left
Calvin,
you know what? I'm gonna have to have words with the guy who was screening the call. We're going to get to the bottom and find out who that guy was. Because I'm not going to hear any lip from him. But I will say this, Rick, and we're going to get to this when we come back on the other side. There is an element to Juan Soto, okay, that I don't think is going to go over too well with Yankee fans if the season plays out in a particular way. And I'll tell you what I mean when we return. Opening day, 2024, it's DNR. It's Dan and Rick, 98.7 ESPN. Now word from True Green. You ready to elevate your lawn game without breaking the bank? True Green has been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners for over 50 years. Visit TrueGreen.com today and discover the easiest and affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn guaranteed. Plus, enjoy True Green's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. Visit TrueGreen.com. Transform your lawn effortlessly. That's TrueGreen.com. Your dream lawn is just around the corner.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.